Now, the third part concerning the teaching on leading people into a faith-based relationship with Jesus Christ is entitled, Teaching Faith Where There Is No Faith. The Word of God, when spoken in faith, can change the lives of people who are not even looking for Jesus. Look at Romans 10:20 for a minute. And it says, And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who sought me not. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. This has to be the most exciting aspect of personal evangelism. One-to-one witnessing can produce the complete change in someone right before your eyes. To see someone transformed by the power of God, who has not even been thinking about God, is an incredible experience. I pray that all believers are able to experience this. We've seen many examples as we go out on the streets and find where there's large groups of people, that we'll approach people that the furthest thing in their mind is Jesus. They're not thinking about God, church, or nothing spiritual. And when we approach them and ask them, can we talk with you for a few moments? And we begin to share the Word of God, faith is sparked in people's souls. Mark 16:15 said, And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Is there anything else we should be about? As we understand that we're carrying powerful, life-changing words from God, we need to get excited about that and realize that every time we go out and share His Word with someone, it's going to produce results. The Word of God, when it's spoken in faith, can change the lives of people who are involved in cults, false religions, and just general bad stuff. Romans 10:2 says, For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. As I've realized that it's not so important to look at what people are doing or believing, but what's important is for me to just share with them what the Word of God says, I have found that many people involved in various cults, Satanism, wrong religions, many of them have a zeal for God, but they don't know, they don't have any knowledge about God. They don't know Him, but they're actually very hungry, and they want to know God. They desire to know God. And if we would change our approach and stop lashing out at them, if we would change our approach and just start ministering to them and praying with them and sharing His Word, God will spark faith in them, and they would begin to see that they're going down the wrong path. Not too long ago, we were at a concert, and this guy came just up to me real abruptly and very quickly, and he started cursing me out. He just cursed me out, gave me the finger or something, and then ran off. And the other people in my group kind of chuckled a little bit. I didn't even have a chance to respond. Well, after a few minutes, he came tearing back. And he looked at me and he said, I'm sorry, man. I should never have done that. I don't know what possessed me to do that. But I'm sorry. I shouldn't have cursed you out like that. But you hate all of us anyway. And he says, I'm a Mormon. And you hate us. And I looked at him and I said, I don't hate you. I said, why would you think I hate you? Well, he went on, you know, he said, you all just, you know, attack us all the time and put us down and tell us all the things that we're doing wrong. And I said, God loves you. He began to talk to me and tell me, well, my problem's not you or not the Mormon church. I'm a cocaine addict. And from that point on, I was able to minister to him through that night. So unfortunately, people in the world have this image, maybe rightfully or sometimes just in their own minds, that we as Christians hate them because we don't like their behavior. So we have to very carefully communicate the fact that, yes, we don't want to see you doing these certain things. We don't want to see you addicted to cocaine, and that's wrong. But you see, everybody knows these things are wrong. People know cigarette smoking's wrong. People know getting drunk is wrong. But telling them, you shouldn't be smoking, you shouldn't go hear that concert where they talk about Satan, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, there's no power in that. Nothing's going to change. They've heard that. We've all heard that. So once we understand, our approach needs to be in love and with the ability and the desire to just share the Word of God. All we may have to do is say, you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we were just to say that one scripture to someone that has never heard the Word of God spoken in faith, then we have accomplished a great deal. Because that word will be implanted in that person's mind, in his spirit. And that young Mormon guy who had an idea that all Christians hate him, heard that we don't, and heard several scriptures that I shared with him. And they will not return void. So what if the church started to witness in love to those who we've been attacking? Think of it for a minute. Rock stars. Many rock groups are into Satanism. They curse. They promote sex and drugs. And we don't like that behavior. But we need to love them and share the Word of God with them. What about an atheist? Or the doctor who performs abortions? Should we go up to him and say, that's terrible, and start beating him up verbally? Well, chances are he already knows it's wrong somewhere deep down inside. And what our job needs to be is just to share the Word of God with him. He's a soul like anybody else. Porn readers. I can think of Larry Flint, who's very angry at God and very angry at the church, founded one of those terrible magazines, adult magazines. But what if we began to start loving these people despite their behavior and began to start ministering to them the love of God through the Word of God? Let me share with you an experience that I had at one of the concerts that we do. As many of you may know, we do outreaches to concerts, secular concerts, and we go where there's big concert events and a lot of people. Because generally, a secular concert, it's not going to have very many Christians go to them. And we're not out there protesting or anything like that, but we're out there sharing the love of Christ. We might take them some cold bottled water, some hot dogs, and just share with them Jesus and how he died for their sins. Well, during one of our outreaches, God did a spectacular thing. I was sharing with the group that was with me my vision about how I'd like to see God move into these concerts and have an opportunity to witness to everybody there, not just in the audience, but with the rock stars themselves. And as I was sharing this vision with my group, one of the guys in our group said, man, I'm going to get him into this concert. So he went over to the scalper, and he bought these tickets real cheap, three tickets, like 10 bucks a piece. And he came back to me, and he said, look, Nelson, I got us three tickets so we can go in there and you can preach the gospel inside the concert. And I looked back at him, and I said, you know, I appreciate your zeal and everything, but if God wants us to get in there, he'll get us in there. We don't need to spend a dime to get in there. And I told him, if God really wants us in there, he'll get us in there. We don't need to buy these tickets. So go ahead and try to go get your money back. Well, you could see he was a little frustrated, but he went on back and did what I said, and he went back to the scalper. And the scalper gave him his money back. So he got his $30 back, and he came back, and we were out there just handing out tracts and witnessing to people for about 20, 30 minutes. When that scalper came back up to us, and he was crying, and he said, here, take these tickets and go do what God has called you all to do. So he gave me 3 tickets. And that was just the beginning. So I took a big stack of tracks before entering the concert. And there was 2 other people that went with me, that one young man and another gal. And we, the 3 of us, went into the concert. Now, normally I just carry, you know, a little amount of tracks in my pocket. Not too many, just enough to hand out 10 or 20 at a time. But on this particular occasion, for whatever reason, I took a whole stack of them in, man. I had a pile of tracks, probably thousands. And as we went into the concert, we were standing at the back. I began to feel a little uneasy because I noticed the security was watching me very closely. And I'd look over at the security officer, and then he'd look back at me. And I felt like he might come arrest me or something. I felt totally out of place, and I guess he was looking at us and saying, "What the heck are you all doing here?" So I put the tracks up on this ledge and tried to separate myself from the tracks and kind of backed away a little bit. And as I did that, the security officer walked up, walked right past me and looked over at me a couple of times, and then picked up all my tracks and walked off. And my heart kind of sank, and I got the feeling like, oh my gosh, they confiscated our tracks. But then I began to continue to look at the man and the security officer, and I noticed he walked down a ways and then stopped and opened up one of the tracks and began to read it. And he read it word by word. He didn't rush over it because he stood there for a few minutes reading the entire thing. Then he went over to a couple of his buddies, some other security officers, and he handed a couple out to them, and they all read it. Now, at this time, we were in the concert, and the concert was underway, and a band was playing. But as you know, many times the main group has another group prior to it coming out, and so this was the warm-up group, and they were kind of coming to an end. They were almost done, and as I was watching that security officer with one eye, you know, watching him read the tracks, I couldn't help to notice how awful the music was I was hearing. And I looked up on stage and noticed that they had a statue of Satan in the middle of the stage. And I listened to the words of the music and all the cursing and all the vile things that were coming out of their mouths. And I began to just feel a little sick to my stomach. And I looked up above the band, and there was a video they were showing. And in this video, they had a hideous picture of a girl being attacked by a bunch of guys, like a gang. And it was the worst thing I'd ever seen in my life. I won't tell you the details of what went on in that video, but I'll tell you it was pretty vile. Well, I looked back over at the security officer, and then he started handing out a handful of tracks to each of his fellow security officers. And they began to walk up and down the aisles and hand out my tracks. I was pretty stunned, but also excited. And I said, oh my gosh, look at this. So the 3 of us were standing in the back watching these security officers do our job for us. And they went up and down the rows passing out tracks to all these kids. Now here's just so many amazing things took place. Well, right as they were done passing the tracks out, the first group was done singing. They finished up, and the lights came on, and there was an intermission. So here you have an audience full of people during intermission with the lights coming on and them having this track in their hands. So the entire place started, they all started reading the tracks. Started reading about how Jesus loves them and died for their sins and wants to have a relationship with them. Well, with that, my face started rising up and I said, oh my gosh, look at this. I guess this is our cue. So we started walking up and down the aisles and I'd look at people and I said, you know, I wrote that. You got any questions? And I began to share the gospel with a few people and they started listening. And I said, you know, Jesus loves you. He died for you. And I was just talking to a few people, but then it grew into like a sermon. And before I knew it, there were rows of people listening to me as I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there was some distractions. There were some people that were wadding up the tracks and throwing and trying to hit me in the head with them. But on the other hand, there were people saying, "Shut up, I want to hear what he has to say." And as I shared the Word of God which produces faith, I looked down in front of me, and right on the edge of the row there, there was a young girl. And I looked down at her, and I could tell God was touching her. And I looked at her and I said, "Would you like to have a relationship with God? Would you like to know Jesus Christ?" And she was crying. And she looked up at me and shook her head up and down. At this point, her boyfriend, whose mouth was wide open, looking at her and back up at me, he says, whoa, wait a minute. She doesn't want any part of what you're doing. I mean, look at this. Look what she's wearing." And I hadn't noticed what she had been wearing. And on the front of her t-shirt, it said, "I hate God." And on the back of her t-shirt, it said, "I love Satan." So he pointed that out to me. He said, "Look at that. She hates God. She loves Satan. She's not somebody that wants to hear what you have to say." Well, I looked back at him and just gave him a very stern look and said nothing, but just gave him one of those stares that said, "You better be quiet and let me finish talking with this young girl." So he shut up, and I got on my knees there next to her, and I said, "You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ right now. You can ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come into your life." And she prayed to ask Christ to come into her life. And while I was doing that with her, the other two people that were with me each led someone to Christ as well. So that is an example of the scripture, Romans 10:20, when it says, "I was found by those who sought me not, and I became manifest to those who do not even ask for me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me." Isn't that remarkable? The power of God, the power of His Word, and what He can do when we just take the step of faith as believers and share Jesus Christ to a world that has no idea of how to establish faith in Jesus. And that's what our job is. So never assume that it appears that they're not interested. Many of them still want to hear what we have to say. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what t-shirts they're wearing. Don't look at the fact that they're in a concert that's blaspheming God. Appearances can be very deceiving. We need to remember to trust the Holy Spirit and not always our eyes. Don't worry about something they might be wearing that says, "I hate God." The statement, "I hate God," is not near as powerful as the scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That word of God can change hearts and attitudes of men and women everywhere. So remember, you can see lives changed as you share God's word with the people God puts in your path. God bless.